Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
You are listening to 95 The One AM 1080 KYMN Radio, streaming live on kymnradio.net. This is your bi-weekly exploration of Southern Minnesota beer and breweries. We're also called On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And you're going to join us for about an hour plus ride here, depending on if you're listening online, on radio, or via podcast. And we welcome you to join us here for the next hour or so as we talk to a number of people about a number of things. Ira, we got a good show lined up. We do every episode. But today is especially fun, right?
No, it's going to be fun today. We've got Karst Brewing coming up. They're one of the smallest breweries in the state. They're kind of a unique place and also a limited hour, so you kind of have a hard time to get there. You've made it there. I've tried to when down in the area, whether it be heading to Lanesboro or Rochester, and you got to really time it out well. So
I'm a man who sees challenges, and I overcome those challenges.
Yep.
Well, I challenge you to be a bigger man.
I will get there. But anyways, they're coming in. Looking forward to talking to them. We're still stuck a little bit in the British style. So Andrew's got another little British style of the week. Got a couple of fun IPAs coming up to talk about on the beers of the week. And, of course, a couple of fun extra offerings that people have been sending in. So we've been enjoying some of them already.
Yeah, stick around. Karst Brewing is kind of an interesting deal. Like you said, small tap room, not a big space. They just started now expanding their brewing operations a little bit. But for a long while, I think in their first year of operations, roughly, they only had three beers on tap typically. And like you said, pretty limited hours to Friday night and Saturdays. Neat space and kind of a fun town. I pulled in on a sleepy Saturday, so there wasn't really much going on. But it's a town of, I think like 800. I'm sure we'll talk about during the interview. And it's about 20 minutes south of Rochester, so not that far out. And if you make the trek down to Rochester to check out the mini breweries there, it's just a jaunt down the road from there to get to Fountain. So definitely check them out. Stick around for the interview. And, we had the opportunity recently to sample some more beers because apparently we're getting a reputation. These breweries are looking to support us. We appreciate it by sending us some samples. We can talk about, share the fun stuff they're all doing. And right now you've got one in your hand. What are you looking at?
We got the 3rd Street Brewhouse Sugar Shack Maple Stout. So this one, a lot of people have seen. You'll see it on tap quite a few places. And the label is correct. It is sugary and mapley, and I'm kind of feeling like I want to go make some waffles and pancakes now after having a little bit of this, but it is really enjoyable. A little bit goes a long way, I'll say that, for the sweetness.
It's a fun drink.
Yeah, no, it is fun. I'm definitely enjoying this, but it is a little bit on the sweet side, so yeah, you got to be ready for that flavor.
And there's a cool story to the beer as well, right?
Yeah, on the can, and was listed that they are tucked in the backwoods of the legendary St. John's Abbey. The Sugar Shack is operated by monks, passing on century-old secrets and providing some serious sweet history. These guys take maple syrup making as seriously as we take great beer brewing. These discerning monks have given 3rd Street Brewhouse exclusive rights, yep, that means just us, to pair their notorious sweet blend with our perfectly crafted beers so we can bring you the Sugar Shack Maple Stout. Special thanks to the St. John's Abbey Arboretum and Forest in Collegeville, Minnesota. So, yeah, if you're up in that area, Collegeville is really not that much farther away from Cold Spring where 3rd Street Brewhouse is. So that is a great pairing between a long-established institution, combining a great product up there with a good beer here. So this is one that is really kind of fun. It's been around for quite a while, so a lot of people have seen it, but definitely find it, check it out. It is well worth the taste.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really nice beer. It's a fun, tasty beer. That sweetness really comes through. For me, I probably wouldn't be able to put back more than one in one sitting, but as we know, there's plenty of people with a sweeter tooth than probably you and I have. It's probably a great drinker for a lot of people just to have in the evening or an afternoon around a fire, fishing, whatever they might be doing. So I think it's tasty, and the connection to the local community is a great story as well.
Well, and we've talked about it before. I think that's one that while I wouldn't call it a novelty beer because it's definitely a good beer, I think that works well in a food pairing kind of a situation. It might be interesting if, again, we've talked about it. We maybe at some point we'll try to get a chef on, and that might be an interesting one to talk about pairing beers with.
Yeah, and Third Street Brewing is obviously the craft brewing arm of Cold Spring Brewing Company up in Cold Spring, which has been around forever. And they've done kind of a fun series lately, kind of looking back at some different recipes they've done and just kind of different more classical beers. And here's one that they've sent us. It's called the Kegelbrau. It's a lager, and it's a pretty light straw color beer. Comes in pretty low at a 4.2% ABV, and it's kind of a neat beer. I think for as little ABV there is, and this is kind of the misnomer out there that light alcohol beers don't have any flavor. I think this actually has a pretty good punch to it. It's got nice flavor to it. And the can says that you hold a piece of history in your hand. This is one of the first beers brewed to be a light, stable, safe from contamination by harmful UV rays. Today, many beers are brewed to be light, stable, like Kegelbrau, the beer that helps shape modern brewing. I think it's a quality beer. I think it's got a lot of flavor for what you would consider a lighter lager, lighter in flavor, lighter in color. Something that I wish I would have picked up maybe a month ago when I was ice fishing, another option to sip on a few throughout the day. But I think it's a pretty quality output.
Yeah, no, it's a very much of a lighter, clear beer here. But yeah, it is. This I can see as an everyday drinker. It would be the one that you can have in the fridge. You can have a couple with as you're doing something in the yard or in the garage, working on a couple things, and you're definitely not going to be feeling the effects of it. Very nice, easy to drink beer. Hats off to Cold Spring for it. It's also a fun location up there. I mean, we're talking about their beers, but Third Street itself, if people haven't gone up there, it's worth the road trip to get up there. Check their hours. They're a little bit, because they're a production brewery, they mm-hmm. aren't open as much as most people would expect. But if you go during the summer, tons of outside seating, great inside seating.
It's a great space.
Yeah, it's well worth a visit to get up there. And as you, if you do make it up there, one of our beers that we talk about today on the Beers of the Week, you can kind of make a little tie-in to the run as you get up that way. But yeah, it's a great offering, great space. I had a chance to stop during the state tournament a couple of years ago, and it was well worth a visit.
And we did pick up a couple other beers from another brewery in St. Paul. We got Urban Growler Brewing Company. It's the first women-owned and brewed microbrewery in the state. So this is one of those interesting cases where they have a full kitchen but only serve their own beer, so they're not technically a brew pub. They are a production brewer that happens to have a full-scale kitchen, and they do have good food. I've been there a couple times. And they sent us up two of their more popular beers, two beers they have in distribution. It's the Cowbell Cream Ale and the DeLovely Porter, which is actually a quite lovely porter. It's full of flavor, a nice offering. They come in pint cans. And then the Cream Ale is also a nice offering. It's a really, to me, a kind of a traditional Cream Ale that's full flavor but lighter body. And, you know, I didn't explore my cans yet. I know you've got one there, and we didn't open up the other one here today. But they instruct you to mix the two beers together to create the Dirty Cow. So Cowbell Cream Ale, obviously a cow featured. DeLovely is their porter. And, you know, you do like an old black and tan is what I'm guessing they're inspiring here between the two. So I know I've got a can of each left at home. I'm going to be doing that myself later. And maybe we'll report back on that. Unfortunately, we didn't get enough research done ahead of today's show. But what do you think, Ira?
Oh, I like this cream ale. It's very nice, white, crispy. As they put it, golden color and low in bitterness. So yeah, it comes in easy to drink, nice and low. I am on my side. I've actually drank both my cans of porter already, and yeah, they were very. It's a very smooth. It's full of flavor, but definitely white on the tongue. Not really a heavy flavor. I was actually mad at myself for the fact that I think I chilled it a little too much. I think that porter should have been served maybe not at room temperature, but maybe more in the 40s and 50s compared to...
yeah, most beers. Yeah, most porters.
Right. And so that was my mistake because as I was drinking it, I could really tell the flavor of it that I think it was going to give a little bit more of a mouthfeel, a little more flavor if I'd let it warm up a little bit. That being said, it was good enough that I went and had the other one as well because I was enjoying them. So, no, I really enjoyed that. This cream ale is very lovely. I wish I'd known I should have been combining the two because I would have definitely been doing that. So I will look for them the next time I'm up there and try that in-house.
And if you're looking for more beers that we've discussed from breweries that have sent us beer or interviews we've had or other segments we've had, you can find all our shows on our website at ontapnorthfield.com or find us on podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Google Play, a number of other quality podcast platforms. But go to our website. That's a good place to start. You also on our website can find all our future guests. That brings you to our Facebook page or our Twitter page. That's On Tap Northfield, or our Instagram page, which is On Tap with Corey and Ira, where we post a lot of photos and stuff that we're doing, places we visit, sometimes the shows and interviews we're having. So those are good places to stick with us and find out what is going on. And while you are on one of those podcast platforms, go ahead and leave us a review. That helps people find us and see what's going on in the Southern Minnesota brewing scene.
And if you like this podcast and want to hear more about beer in general, we are a part of the Hopped Up Network, which is a series of 11 other podcasts spread across most of the U.S. and a little bit into Canada. There's quite a low selection of them. If you head up to hoppedupnetwork.com, you'll see a whole list of all the other network podcasts that you can listen to. And there's really some kind of fun ones. And maybe one of these times we'll start featuring one an episode and talk a little bit more about why you should tune into that podcast. But they're very worth listening to, so please do tune in and listen to them as well.
But stick around with us, because we've got a great show coming up.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is out of Ale Asylum in Madison, Wisconsin. We had one of theirs a couple of episodes ago, but this is their Velveteen Habit. And I'm going to say the exact same thing that I did when I had my first sip of this. Wow. This is they list it as bursting with Citra and Cascade hops. This IPA has a juicy hop presence with a rapturous aroma that will linger on your palate as well as your mind. What they don't really say is it kind of comes in a little bit caramely and sweet. Maybe not sweet, but it comes in caramely, really kind of big fun flavors to it. It hits you with a lot of flavor up front.
Yeah, they're not kidding when it says it's hop full. Or maybe the hop presence, that's what they say. I think it's hop full. Full of hop. It's definitely on the nose. It's definitely in the mouth. I love the mouthfeel you get out of this. It's, you know, it comes in at 7.5% on the ABV scale, which kind of puts a borderline APA / double or Imperial IPA. And I bring that up because it's kind of the mouthfeel has a little oily feel to it, which for some might be a turnoff, but I love that component of an IPA when it has that kind of oily texture to it. To me, again, us not being brewers, I usually associate that with a higher alcohol IPA. So that's kind of what I get out of this. And I love it. And this being March, perfect time for it. This is when the bigger IPAs are supposed to be coming out.
Well, yeah, and I see juicy hop. So I was kind of expecting with the term juicy, a little bit more of, you know, Northeast style, a little bit more bite to the flavor. And like I said before, this comes in just kind of caramely and chocolatey, which I'm a little surprised with all the hoppiness to it. So, yes, I was very, very, very much surprised by this one, but absolutely love it. This was a great choice that Sean sent over.
I get the caramel color. I'm not sure where you're getting the chocolate, though. But again, it's all subjective.
Maybe yeah, I don't know. I'm picking it up on my tongue or something. But yeah, I was a little surprised by it. Almost has a little bit of a stout characteristic, and I'm not seeing anything on it that would give me that. But anyways, I love it.
Yeah, definitely not stout. Definitely a full forward IPA. So maybe it's just one of those days for you. But just real quick on the juicy term, all these adjectives that get used for beers, they're pretty wide open in terms of what they actually mean to different people. Again, taste is subjective.
Yeah, we talked about it last week even.
Yeah, so juiciness could bring up different kind of ideas to different people. I don't think it's an incorrect descriptor for this beer, but it definitely brings a wide range of descriptions for people's mind depending on what their flavor profile and subjectivity is.
And maybe it was just for me. It was just a different flavor profile than I was expecting from an IPA. It's a flavor profile I don't normally get from one. So it was really a different surprise flavor, and I think that's what I enjoyed about it.
Well, you didn't say you were eating Easter Bunny, chocolate Easter Bunny right before that either.
No.
No, of course not. And our other offer is also an IPA. It's from Beaver Island Brewing, which is here local in St. Cloud, called Revival. It's their Coast to Coast IPA. And this is another nice IPA. I think both of us tend to be IPA guys, so it's hard to find one that we actually don't really like. But this is a pretty solid one. It definitely comes through with more of a bitter flavor, which may be a turnoff for some people, but it's a flavor I happen to like. And there again, adjectives and descriptors, a lot of people conflate the idea of bitterness and hoppiness, and they're somewhat interchangeable, but I would say this has more of a bitter flavor. It kind of lingers to it. But again, it's something I'm in favor of. And, you know, Beaver Island's been known the last couple of years to put out some quality beers, and I'm not sure how new this is to their lineup. I haven't seen this one before. It does say it's part of their Revolution series. It's not something I've heard of before, so maybe that's something new they're doing. I apologize if it's not something new they're doing, but it's something I haven't heard of before, and I think this is a fun take on IPA. I'm not sure what the coast-to-coast means. You know, there's a lot of different terminology being used to define IPAs these days, whether it's West Coast, Northeast Coast. You see Midwest Coast. This is coast to coast. So it might be partly marketing. There might be something deeper within the recipe. But overall, I think a pretty decent IPA.
Yeah, well, they're listing as a revolutionary spin on a coast-to-coast IPA. We circle the globe to find the perfect mashup of heritage UK malts and West Coast hops. Let it inspire your next voyage. So, yeah, I think maybe they're talking almost a little like it's
more of a global look.
Kind of a global thing. But, yeah, I get where you're coming with on the bitterness and stuff. But, yeah, I definitely like this one. It's kind of more of what I think of when I think of an IPA because of a little bit more of a bitter bite to it, you know, what I like in an IPA. But yeah, this is very much of a traditional in that sense. Sean was very excited to give me this one. I ran into him when I was picking up the beers of the week, and he was very excited to be carrying Beaver Island Brewing. In the way of distribution, this is the first time he's had it in. They're really just now reaching out to distribution. So start to look for Beaver Island Brewing beers in the stores because they're going to definitely be out there. But, yeah, as they listed at the bottom, damn fine beer. I think this is a good offering. My first one ever of Beaver Island, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's a good point. A year ago when they really were starting to get in their own and people were talking more about them, it was hard to find them outside of St. Cloud. Maybe a couple of select bottle shops in the cities, but you weren't really finding them. So they've clearly grown up where their distribution spreading around the state, and us lucky saps down here in Northfield, Dundas area can finally get them.
Yeah, it's awesome. And if you want to try either one of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they're conveniently found at Firehouse Liquors south on Highway 3 in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck. So we're coming to you from studio now with Eric from Karst Brewing down in Fountain, Minnesota. How's it going, Eric?
Great. Thanks, Corey.
Appreciate you taking the drive up and talking to us today about Karst Brewing. Why don't you tell people where Karst is, where Fountain, Minnesota is, because I don't think a lot of people know where it is other than we've talked about for a few episodes down. I kind of went through my rundown of when I visited down there and let people know where it is. But why don't you tell people who haven't heard us before where it is?
You have to have heard of Fountain. It's the sinkhole capital. So Fountain is Fountain's southeast of Rochester, right on Highway 52, small town, about 400 people. If you blink, you'll miss it.
Sure.
But those of you that drive down to Decorah, to Toppling Goliath, you'll drive right by, or drive up to Rochester from that area, you'll drive right by. So about 30 miles south of Rochester, and that's where Karst Brewing is. And that's
so which street in town are you on?
We're actually
400 people.
Yeah, right. Well, so we're on First Street. It's not too hard to find. It's a small town, so just off the main street. Yep.
And I want to talk a little bit about the location, but before we get there, I don't want to get too far ahead in the story. Why open a brewery? I mean, that's a big step. Your interview, I think, number 29. There's 150 breweries in the state now, clearly thousands of them in the country. Why for you? Why was this the path you want to take?
So, you know, I think a common theme is it's sort of a creative thing. How cool, open up a brewery. Let's put craft beer, your passion for that, and do it for a living. So, you got to be a little bit crazy to do that.
And we found that in our European show.
Yeah, a little bit naive too. But I think why craft beer in general is so popular is because there's that creativity and community that goes along with it. And so it's not just about, you know, alcohol, right? Or business. It's about people enjoying a new flavor that they haven't had before, and new people, new environments. Every brewery that you go to in Minnesota or across the country is going to have its own personality.
Sure.
And I come from a service industry, work with customers but to serve in that kind of environment where people just want to discover other people and other people's creativity is that's what's appealing to me.
So for you, how do you get from that thought process, that desire in life, to opening a brewery?
Yeah,
so, it seems like there's a giant leap in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, there's a huge leap in there. Probably started in the early 90s when I started home brewing, mm-hmm. and just kind of daydreaming about, wouldn't it be cool to do this? And you know, reality always getting in the way, to where an opportunity comes up where, you know, I might be able to make something swing. So I plan small, you know, as opposed to others maybe getting a team of people together and putting together investors. I plan small because I basically wanted to extend the fun of home brewing it just a little bit bigger and go commercial with that. And so that was kind of a challenge, but part of it was waiting for the right opportunity, which Fountain with the piece of property they have was very inexpensive.
Yeah, how did Fountain come into the equation? You said you're from west of the cities, and
we're west. We lived in Watertown, west of the cities. That's where we raised our family. But originally, my wife and I, Sandy and I, grew up and went to high school in Chatfield. Mm. Or I was on a farm. She was in Chatfield. Chatfield's just north of Fountain, so we're very familiar with that area. That's where we grew up. Now we haven't been there for 25 years, but we still have family that lived in that area. And Sandy's brother had bought this old house to rehab next door to our brewery, and that was an empty building at the time that probably should have been torn down. And her brother Charles said, "Hey, Eric, here's your brewery. Come, we can." So he kind of rehabbed his house, and I rehabbed the brewery.
Worked out for him. He's got a brewery next door.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
How do you sign up for that?
Yeah, right, it's not often right. You can talk somebody into opening a brewery next to you.
So. So it was kind of a, you know, maybe still kind of a daydream, but it's, I like to have a little project, mm-hmm. and the rehab part of it was a project. It took 3 years to do. It didn't have to be a brewery in the end, but that was my goal. But if it didn't work out, it wouldn't have had to been my goal. So again, kind of looking for an opportunity where I can keep it small and manageable, still have a full-time job, that type of thing. And then suddenly we had a brewery and we had to make some decisions.
Was it 3 years in the rehab that you made the decision to make it a brewery, or was it somewhere along in that process? And then you kind of...
I always had it in the back of my head, mm-hmm. is this going to be a brewery? I kind of talked it down and downplayed, so I think friends and relatives probably thought maybe that was later on, but in the back of my head, that was always kind of the goal.
Because at some point, you got to start outfitting plumbing and all that kind of
stuff. Oh, yeah, right? You sure do, and I kind of made a mistake, which is why it was 3 years instead of 1 or 2 years. But yeah, you're right. There's a point where you get you're all in on something like that.
You mentioned the size was right for you and you want to be small. Why was the size right for you, where you could do a small approach and not have investors or a bunch of other people involved, and just, you know, you, your wife, maybe the family?
So maybe a couple questions in there. You know, it was affordable, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Originally, this building was a one-room schoolhouse, so that tells you how small it was.
Mm-hmm.
And people spend more money on a fish house than I spent on this building. So it was affordable. And the other thing about keeping it small and why that works out for me is my thought is I already have an investor, and that's my current employer, and is a good investor.
Sure.
I've worked there for 25 years, and I've done well, but I was looking for something different, a way to be creative and do things at my rate, at my speed, on my terms. Succeed or fail, it's going to be, you know,
it's
going to be ours.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be Sandy and ours away. So that's kind of the two answers of that.
Yeah, question. You mentioned Sandy a couple times. Your wife, she's involved. I know when I visited, you both were there slinging beer and helping out. Is it the two of you then, or just the sole proprietors?
So, Sandy and I are the co-owners and operators of Karst Brewing. So I do the brewing. She sort of plans what's going on in the tap room and lining up food trucks and as we grow, I think in our second year, we haven't finished our first year, but as we get into our second year, coming Memorial Day weekend, she'll be planning a lot more fun things, and she has a good creative and mindset in that regard.
Yeah, I was trying to call back my mind of when you opened. I knew it was positioned around a holiday. Memorial Day was where I was going to go.
It was Memorial Day weekend, and we called it a sneak peek because we honestly didn't think we were ready. I didn't think I was ready, and Sandy said, Eric, we got to open.
And you opened with two beers, right?
And we opened with, two beers.
I remember photos.
You're right. We
rye beer, was there one?
Yep, rye, and I think Maggie's Farm, which is a cream ale.
It's weird the things you remember, but I remember the rye beer.
You're right. So we only had capacity for three beers. Mm-hmm. We had two, not three, but at the time.
So you weren't ready in your mind.
That's what I said. We weren't ready. On Friday of Memorial Day weekend, we decided, okay, we're going to open tonight. So we put out some sandwich boards on Highway 52, and a lot of people did some quick turns in the fountain, and it's like, a brewery, what?
So like a great cop trap right there, just sit there and wait for all the legal
turns. Exactly. I think we had quite a few, and it was a hit. Then we called it a sneak peek opening. We didn't advertise. We didn't want to over advertise and under deliver. It'd be better to under advertise and over deliver. So that's why we just put out the sandwich boards and say, hey, sneak peek opening, Karst Brewing. And we closed for another, I think it was just one weekend, to catch
replenish,
up, to get the third beer on available. And we were serving out, because it's such a small, it's less than 500 square feet.
It doesn't say how big is it,
about 500 square feet. That's everything. That's the bathroom, that's the brewery, that's the tap room, the serving area, it was a one-room school.
It's cozy.
Yeah, it's cozy.
Any outside seating?
We do. We have a patio. We built a little, and that was a family thing.
It's beautiful, too.
Yeah, we built a brick. We had some reclaimed brick. We dug out the weedy and broken cement boulevard that was in front of the building and put in took some reclaimed brick pavers and made a patio there, which is fun and really people enjoy sitting out there in the summertime on a nice day.
And I think I came through in November, maybe it was, and you had a fire pit out front. It was a cold day, which I don't know how many breweries you could be on the main street and have a fire pit out front.
It's going to be sad, but I know what day you went down. It was December 15th, I believe, because I couldn't go when you guys were heading down that day.
That could be it.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like it was cold, and I feel like there may have been snow. So December sounds better.
Yeah, I remember, and I only came up because I was checking some stuff for work on when I filed some paperwork, and it was a day that I did that instead of joining you for the trip. So
you missed out.
Yeah,
it was a good trip going down the river and ending our night in Fountain.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I bought a little. It's a cast iron kettle, one of those things that they probably used to scald pigs and chickens and things in. And I drilled a couple holes in the bottom for drainage, and that's our fire pit. So it looks, it's kind of cool.
It was getting used that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
These Minnesota winters, sometimes it can be awful, and sometimes you get this weird thaws, and how many times has that happened? And people just want to have a reason to stand outside because they get spring fever even in December, I think. So if it's not too bad and you have a little heat in the form of a fire, it's amazing how many people go and stand out.
No, I appreciate
and
that.
Have a beer.
I've been an advocate for that on this show for a long time. We're in the very end of winter here, and so I should have been drinking outside all year with all the breweries we have. It's open the patio and just maybe have a fire pit or have people dress correctly.
Well, it's that time of year right now where as the weather turns, I mean, you can be outside, and even though it might only be 38, if you're sitting in the sun, it's comfortable.
Because you're conditioned for cold.
And you're ready to be out there and enjoy it.
Yeah. 38 in October feels a little different, though.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
The way it works.
That's true.
Walk us through the process of figuring out the layout of the space. I mean, you're limited to 500 square feet. You've got to have a brewing space. You've got to have a taproom space. You've got to have space to sell the beer. Yep. You've got to have a sink and a toilet somewhere.
It was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge. I had several sketches on how to figure that out. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the bathroom and the taproom space is really to try to make it as small as possible, as legally possible.
Sure.
So the bathroom is just big enough to be handicap accessible. And it's a you know, it's a unisex. There's just one.
Mm-hmm.
And with that amount of square footage, under 500 square feet, you can get away with that in the state of Minnesota. A little bit bigger, and we probably would have had two, and that would have hurt. Tap room, we didn't have a room. That's why we chose not to have refrigerators or walk-in coolers inside the building. It's just not enough space. So we decided to use serving tanks. So our bright tanks are also tax determination tanks and serving tanks, like you might see in a brew pub.
Hmm.
And we're a production brewery license, but we drew directly off the bright tanks. So basically, when it comes out of the brewing facility, which you have to have a separate facility between your brewing and tap room, and I had to figure that out too. We put that into the bright tank, and now that's in the tap room facility. So that's where we do our tax determination, is in the tank, right?
Okay.
Right, immediately, and then we sell the beers from there. As far as the brewery, we have all the equipment, the hot liquor tank, mash tun, boil kettle, and two fermenters all squeezed tight in on one wall of the building, and it just barely fit, but we got it in there. Would have been nice to have three or four fermenters, but they just simply wouldn't fit.
So what's the capacity of the taproom space? You pack them in there?
You know, yeah, it's amazing how many people get packed in there. But, you know, 20 people fit in without being completely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets pretty tight. But we get about 20 people in there, and which obviously is not a whole lot. But,
sure.
But then when with the nice weather, you know, many more people can sit outside. We had one day, you know, because we're right on a bike trail that comes, the Root River bike trail, and it goes through Lanesboro. It goes, I think there's a branch to Preston and to Harmony. Lanesboro is sort of the epicenter, and then it goes all the way to Rushford. But from Lanesboro, it's 9 miles uphill to Fountain. So there's a lot of B&Bs and a lot of bikers that go to Lanesboro in the summertime.
Uphill though,
yeah. And so but the carrot at the end of that
is you
is the beer, yeah, is go. Craft beer. Oh, we can go, we can make it. And so then they come and they have one or two or maybe two or three because it's all downhill on the way back.
Sure,
but
you got to get a partnership, get somebody to open one in Lanesboro, because right now you could actually take a bike. The bike path from Cannon Falls start at Tillian's, which just opened last weekend, and go all the way to Red Wing Brewing Company. They're both basically at the end of at the trailheads on either side, so makes for a fun biking one way or the other.
We do have some friends that are planning a brewery in Lanesboro.
Yeah, I'm surprised there hasn't been one before this. So it's a great location.
Yeah, it would be a great location. Yeah, you're exactly right. So,
you said your opening weekend went really well. You'd take a week off to kind of replenish the coffers, I guess, and then it's been 10 months since then. I'm assuming things are going well.
It is going well. In fact, I made the decision to go all in, and I'm ending my 26 year career. It was not a light decision.
You're letting your investor go.
I'm letting my investor go, exactly, and seeing if this creativity will work, taking that chance. So that's what we're doing, and we've had obviously, you know, it's in Fountain, the tour season is you know, in the wintertime isn't not like summertime, but still being positioned on Highway 52, we still got decent traffic, and there's a good local following that are developing a taste for craft beer, which is, and that's been fun to watch too.
Sure.
So, but they've the cash flow from that is is encouraging, even in the down season. So I think we can do this.
Has it been a good mix of people then? I mean, a mix of locals, people coming down from Rochester, maybe up from Decorah or down from the cities.
It's
or
been great.
Over from La Crosse.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we're the only brewery in Fillmore County. Mm-hmm. So we get a real good following of locals in Fillmore County that now they don't have to drive to Decorah or to Rochester if they want to get some craft beer. They could come to Fountain. It's like, wow, it's like in their backyard.
Sure.
And they're kind of proud of that they've got a brewery. Hey, we've got, you know, the people in Fountain have been great. Hey, we've got a brewery in Fountain. Aha, you know, that. So they've really, and that's what we wanted, you know, for them to sort of claim it as their own, their neighborhood brewery. But then we also get more regional, you know, people that are, you know, maybe they're on a trek to Decorah or to Rochester, and they say, you know, we're going to swing by this Karst Brewing as well. And then also from, you know, greater Minnesota, we the people coming down from the Twin Cities, tourists for sure. It's like a find. So a real good mix.
Well, people go on their treks now and mark off the breweries. And
yep.
You're close enough to the Rochester hub where
exactly
you're just down the road.
Yeah, I've tried to make it a few times, and it's just been, you know, like we were doing the Mystery Caves, but by the time we got done with everything on a Sunday, your hours were, you know, we weren't quite able to make it, and so it's been, you know, kind of fun to, you know, we've been trying to get there. So that brings up the question, if you are kind of going all in, what does that do to your store hours?
So we will be expanding that. We haven't decided exactly when, but it'll be pretty soon. So our first expansion will be to Sunday. We already have the Sunday license, so we just haven't used it very often because we haven't had time.
Sure.
And then perhaps Thursday. I still only have two fermenters, so this will relieve the bottleneck of my time. The other bottleneck was the three serving tanks. We only had room for, once we finished the product, there's only three places to put it. You know, you can only have three at a time. Mm-hmm. So in January, we had a walk-in cooler built. So now those bright tanks, we keg those off and we serve out of kegs instead. So now we actually have six beers. But it also relieves that bottleneck so that I can put those fermenters at full capacity. But the next bottleneck is going to be those fermenters.
And how big are those? Three barrels?
They're three barrels, yeah. Two, three barrels.
So did you build the cooler off the backside of the building?
Yeah, it's outside. Just a little bit of space left on the property to put that, and then we pipe it in. It's cool. A long draw tap system, but it's been working great.
I've been seeing that more often when, you know, Chapel Brewing here in Dundas does that. Island City in Winona does that as well. They have the cooler off the, although they have a little more space, but it's in the old arch going out the back building. So I had never seen that, never really thought about that. First time I saw it, I think, was at Chap. I'm like, I guess they know what they're doing. It's not going to get too cold on the outside. That's going to affect what's on the inside.
Right. So it's really, you know, the coolers are, and we got a new one. It wasn't used. It was new, and I got TrueTap. That's a Minnesota guy who's been keeping really busy. So Matt at TrueTap, give him a call. He'll be even busier. You know, the cooler's great in the wintertime. I just have a Johnson controller with a little heater on there just to be sure if it gets crazy out.
Right.
And honestly, I don't know that I've really needed it. I just sort of have that for my own security at this point. But it works really nice, and then it saves that interior space. So you still have to get approvals, but this is a, you know, this is a standard product with the specifications are all built in. That's, you know, you tell the agencies that need to approve it what the model and make number is and what you're putting in, and it pretty much gets checked off pretty easy. So
I think you alluded to this at the top of the show, but talk to us a little bit about the name Karst, where that comes from.
Yeah, that's great. So karst is a geological term. There are people with the name karst, but mm-hmm. That's not our name. So it's a geological term, and the karst topography is the topography of southeast Minnesota, and Fountain in particular, is karst. And it's characterized by the soluble limestone close to the surface. Rainwater dissolves it and causes sinkholes, and then ultimately cave systems. And those empty into trout streams and the Root River. So the reason people go and love that part of the state is ultimately it's due to the karst topography. And this building, it was a one-room schoolhouse, but it wasn't in Fountain. It was moved to Fountain in 1958 after filling in a sinkhole. Fountain calls them the sinkhole calls themselves the sinkhole capital. So the sinkhole was filled in, and it's not like Florida where they just, where you know you could just get swallowed up and disappear,
losing children and everything.
You don't. So it's not like that kind of a sinkhole, but there's still sinkholes. But the other thing I found, so Karst fits that as well.
Sure.
But then I found out just about a week ago, and this is back to my brother-in-law Charles, and he dug out this old he had this old topographical map of the area from 1953. This building was moved in 1958, and that 1953 map had all the old country schoolhouses listed on it in Fillmore County. Lots of them. I didn't realize there was that many of them.
Sure.
One of them was Murphy School, which is what this building was. And it was about a mile. I didn't know where it was, though. So it was about a mile north of Fountain on the corner of 52 and Karst Road.
Hmm.
So that's kind of...
There you go. It works out well. Yeah, if you ever get a chance to look at the aerial maps, it's kind of fun because you can spot the sinkholes baseball and basically a little round grove of trees, maybe some water in the middle of it, in the middle of a field where there's... Sure. You know,
that's right. Yeah,
you can't drop out. You don't really know they're there, but they're, you know, you look for the round circles, and it's probably a sinkhole. So
that's right. Yep.
Well, probably the main reason people listen to the show is to hear about beer, and we've not yet talked about
that. Now we got to talk about
beer. You alluded to a couple opener beers, but let's talk about the beer you've made in last year, and obviously now you've doubled your capacity. So what's on the docket for you down the road that people can expect this spring?
Yeah, well, I want to do a saison, maybe a lemon saison. I'm sort of developing the recipe there for spring and early summer. So that'll be something new. I haven't made that yet, but that'll be fun. We have a brown ale that I'm kind of going backwards. The brown ale, which is it's an American brown ale. Mm-hmm. It's a good session beer, very drinkable for a lot of different palates. Edge of the Earth is our oatmeal stout, which I think it's a good stout. It's been received well.
I liked it quite a bit when I was there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something in the future I'd like to barrel age that. Hmm. That's the Edge of the Earth. Ember Waves doesn't really fit a classification. It's got I call it Ember Waves, kind of like Amber Waves of Grain, because it has barley, wheat, and oats in it, and it's a little red in color, and it's got some peated malt that gives it just a hint of smokiness, so like an amber, Ember Waves. Yeah. And actually, that's been kind of popular, too. It's real easy drinking. It's been fun to watch some of the local people that haven't really had the opportunity for craft beer go from our cream ale to that Ember Waves. And then now starting to have the stout and
personal growth, right?
Personal growth, right?
Goals.
Yeah, yeah. We got two IPAs that are they're not your typical IPA. If there is a typical IPA, maybe there is
probably not anymore.
Probably not anymore.
Southeastern Minnesota IPA.
Yeah, exactly. That? Southeast Minnesota IPA.
There you go.
So Top of the Trail is a nice got a real. I don't know, a lot of aroma and flavor, not overly bitter. I use leaf hops, and I even use them on hop back. So there's not too much for bitter. I have some bittering hops as well, but not that much. There's a lot of hops, but it's at the end. So that's been received really well. And then Rye, W-R-Y, kind of a rye sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So that does have rye in it, the grain, but it also has a lot of hops, and that's continuously added, continuous hop additions, and that's it's got that bitterness, but the rye malt, and there's a lot of maltiness as well, a good strong malt backbone that balances that out, and that's sort of the kind of the style that I like. And then the cream ale, we call it Maggie's Farm, and there's a reason for that too. But that's probably our biggest seller. I wouldn't say it's the best beer. I mean, it's an introduction beer.
It's a transitional beer.
Yeah, it's a transition beer. So it's for people that are new to craft beer, they like it, and it brings them into it. And for those that crave craft beer, it's a good lawnmower beer. It's a good, mm-hmm. you know, if you're riding bike up 9 miles from Lanesboro uphill, you might not want a real bitter,
a
heavy, you might not want a heavy stout or real bitter IPA. You want something.
That's why I don't ride bikes.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's why, and it's good.
Is the name a reference to Bob Dylan?
It is. So it's a kind of rip. I hope he's okay with that, but it's sort of a rip off his song. And to me, the song "Maggie's Farm" is a metaphor for corporate America. I don't want to work on Maggie's Farm no more.
Sure.
And for a craft beer, it's not that I don't want to drink Maggie's Farm no more, but maybe I'm going to be a little more creative. Maybe I've overthought this too much. I probably have, but
you've got a lot of time when you're brewing beer, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're brewing beer and having a couple at the same time and thinking crazy things. But you know, the Maggie's Farm, that it's not that people just don't want to work for Maggie's Farm. It's that they want a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. And so the farm, so to speak, and gives you that security, that comfort, but you still need to have a creative outlet. And that, to me, that's what brewing does for me.
Sure.
It gives me that creativity. And without my, quote, Maggie's Farm, my investor, my employer, I never could have made this happen. So I'm really grateful for that, and lots of experiences that I wouldn't want to disrespect or anything like that, because it's made all this possible. And so now I get to brew beer. And for the craft beer drinker, you know, you're still going to have your go-to beer, your comfort beer, your thirst quenching beer maybe, but then you're going to say, I'm going to try something different.
Be adventurous.
Yeah, I'm going to be adventurous. I haven't had an IPA yet. Now people are really getting into IPAs. And now for Minnesotans, it's going to be, do you have sours? I haven't had a sour yet, that type of thing. And that's why I like that name.
So it sounds like you've had a pretty diverse lineup in less than a year. I mean, can you talk a little bit about your approach to beer? I mean, are you brewing stuff that you like, or what you think may appease people who come in your doors? Is it a mix of the two?
Well, both. Mm-hmm. Both. If I can't stand something, I'm not going to make it, right? I need to like it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, fortunately for me, I like lots of different things. So my tastes change, and I think that's fortunate for me, because from a business stance, it's good to have. But we started out with just the three serving tanks. So I picked three beers, and it was Maggie's Farm, the cream ale. It was Rye, the IPA, and Amber Waves, which was in the middle. So basically tried to get both ends of the spectrum, a cream ale for lighter body, lighter hops, and then an IPA, because there's that expectation that you're going to have an IPA.
Absolutely.
And then the center one, that's the one that varied. And the Ember Waves I chose first just because it was different. So I wanted to be creative, but also in terms of malt body, it was in between the two, wasn't very hop bitter, and it just, that smokiness is just a little bit of peat and malt, so it wasn't a typical smoked beer, because that would turn a lot of people off.
Sure.
I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the smoked beer, but I know a lot of people wouldn't. So I backed down on it with that Ember Waves, and it worked out well. So I use all three, you know, kind of creativity, what I think people like, and then also what I like. And now with six beers, we can do more, and now I wish I had room for 12,
because sure.
Now I got to give up something, and I don't want to.
Yeah, as you transition to full-time, what's your ambition here? Just to have enough beer to keep all the taps flowing in the tap room? Do you want to maybe get a couple of accounts in the immediate area?
Yeah.
What do you want to look at here?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm going to give you a kind of a crazy answer because that it's just sort of naive and craziness is what got me this far. And I'm going to kind of, and Sandy and I are, I think we're just going to sort of live in the present.
Sure.
So, as opposed to having these huge expansion plans and where are we going to get tap handles and things like that, we're going to live in the present in Fountain, and we're going to,
which you recently moved to,
which
right?
we recently moved yeah, to. You're right. Exactly. More. Yeah. Yeah. Brew what we like to brew and let people find us, because I think we're going to, at this point in time anyway, I think we're going to stick with sort of the neighborhood brewery concept as opposed to the regional, you know,
sure,
getting tap handles all over Minnesota or the, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa type of thing.
Right.
Or like Toppling Goliath, get super huge. And stick with that neighborhood concept and have, you know, culture our personality and let people find us and kind of go from there and take it a little, still, you know, we'll advertise a little bit more, but I'm still a big believer in, I'd rather under advertise and over deliver than the other way around. I don't want to over advertise and under deliver.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, it's refreshing to see that your Maggie's Farm has afforded you the opportunity to embrace this dream and live in the present.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of worry about those 5-year business plans and got to get these number of, you know, tanks out or, you
yeah,
know, whatever.
And kind of, you know, kind of in corporate America, and that's what I've been worrying about the future for 25 years. Sure. And I'm not getting any younger, so it's time to kind of, hey, let's worry about what we're brewing right now and what we're serving now and make sure it's good beer, quality beer. And that when people take a sip, they're gonna have a smile on their face, and that's our business plan. So,
well, good for you. You said for people to find you, where can they find you if they're listening to the show? Where online can they find you? And then give them the directions again.
Yeah. So we do have to work on our webpage. I apologize in advance, but it's www.karstbrewed.com, or we're on Facebook, and I'm terrible at Facebook.
Search
for Karst Brewing. There's one that comes up in Texas that doesn't really exist.
Not you.
So don't accidentally check in there. But yeah, you'll probably figure it out. So, yeah, we're in Fountain, 315 First Street, Fountain, Minnesota, right off Highway 52.
Put in the old GPS, they'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it. It's a small town. It won't be that hard to find. Yeah,
I found it. Middle of the night. We got there. It wasn't a big deal. Yeah. And for now, Friday nights, Saturdays, like noon to 8 or 10 or
yeah, so
like that.
Friday, right, what we've had for hours, Friday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and Saturday from noon to 10. We will be expanding sometime this spring. Kind of keep track on Facebook and to know for sure. But
keep your pointers there. All right. Yep. Well, thanks for coming in, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Great.
Cheers.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns with another Style of the Week. This week, I want to talk about dry stout. Now, a lot of you know this beer is coming from Ireland, but it has roots back to London. Avid listeners of the show will remember our talk about the historic porter style. And stout really is an abbreviation for stout porter because it's a stronger version of a porter. Now, I don't mean stronger in terms of alcohol content, but a stronger flavor, a more robust flavor, and that comes from the addition of roasted barley. Think of this as barley that's been roasted almost like coffee, and it does really give a chocolatey coffee-like roasted character to it. Now, I said this was a dry stout, which means it's got a dry finish, which means very low sweetness. So this is a dark, dark, opaque beer, lots of coffee roasted flavors, usually only 4 to 5%, but with a very dry finish, which means it doesn't have any lingering sweetness.
going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Karst Brewing out of Fountain, Minnesota for making the trek up and telling us all about what's going on down in Fountain. That's going to be a two-week break for us. We'll be back on March 31st, 11 a.m. here on KYMN Radio 95 The One with Ward House Brewery out of Waseca. That's Minnesota, not Waseca, Wisconsin, you know, just an hour southwest of here. We had the opportunity to check them out not long after they opened, Ira, but we'll have John up here for the next episode to kind of tell the world about what's going on down in Waseca, so we look forward to that. As always, you can find us online at ontapnorfield.com to find all our prior shows. We're something 27, 28 shows in, so that's kind of fun. We're heading into year two strong, and we've got a lot of great guests coming up. Speaking of those guests, you can find who our upcoming guests are by checking out our Facebook page at OnTap Norfield. It's facebook.com/OnTap Norfield, or just search for OnTap Norfield. You'll find us there. We're slated through about August right now, so we've got a full slate. People are just waiting to come on our show, just anticipating having the time to chat with a couple good-looking guys like you and me. So we've got a lot of fun going on there. You can also find posts on Facebook of places we're visiting. Sometimes our guests will get on there, little videos or photos. You can also find us on Twitter if you're more of a Twitter guy or Twitter gal. OnTap Norfield's also the handle there. And Instagram, we're at OnTap with Corey and Ira, because that was available. And the character count allowed for that, so we went with that. I know we had fun this week. We'll probably have fun again in 2 weeks. I don't think we've ever had a show where we haven't had fun.
Yeah, well, and if you want to have a little more fun, we're both going to try to get out today as you're listening to this show. If you're listening today, grand opening over for Tillian, who was our last week's episode. They are grand opening is happening today over in Cannon Falls. So I'm hoping to head over there later today, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, and we didn't mention this at the top of the show because we didn't want to encourage too early of drinking in the day. But today is St. Patrick's Day, so we hope you have a good St. Patrick's Day and a safe St. Patrick's Day. You know, we were going to say don't start too early drinking, but I'm sure a lot of people have to drink to get through our show. And the old proverb is you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So cheers.
Cheers.